Hare Krishna. You can hear me? Yes. Good morning, dear devotees. Hare Krishna. Happy Balaram Jayanti. Very auspicious day. And as I said on Saturday? No. I lose track of time. What day is it today? Monday. Yes, I said on Saturday I would speak a little bit about Lord Balaram today, and we'll chat some japa together, and I will have to end even earlier, as I was notified that they need some extra time for setup for my interview, which will start right after today's session. So, I'm going to read, take advantage of the English audience, and I'm going to be reading today from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 15, but it's from Srila Sanatan Goswami's Lagu Vaishnava Toshini, which is his commentary on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And this is the pastime. Because I don't have much time, I'm going to just read a pastime of Krishna and Balaram as they were entering into the forest with their cows. Going out to the pasturing grounds with the cows. Actually, it was Gopastami, first time that Krishna and Balaram were going out into the pasturing grounds with cows. Previous to that, in fact, I was reading today also from Gopal Champu. It was a very nice description in Gopal Champu of how Krishna and Balaram came about going out into the pasturing grounds with calves. And that was when they were still young and still in Kumaralila, in childhood pastimes. They used to go out in the forest when Nanda Maharaj would take the cows out to the forest. And they would go out and spend time there dealing with the cows. And when Mother Jasoda and Rohini heard about it, both of them complained why you were subjecting them and allowing them to go out. They're very, very young. They've just barely finished drinking their mother's milk. They were just at that age. And they were very concerned. So what happened was that Krishna and Balaram then went, one time they snuck out and to go and to meet into the pasturing grounds with the Nanda Maharaj and the cows. They went in the wrong direction. They took the wrong path. And as a result, they did not meet up with the cows that day, but nonetheless, Mother Jasoda and Rohini were very concerned about this. And then Nanda Maharaj again approached Jasoda, realizing it looks like that we're not going to be able to keep them. They're very much attracted to being with cows. Maybe we can make some kind of a compromise. And it was at that time when Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj agreed, okay, let them stay nearby the village and let them tend with the calves. And they gave them little sticks and they would go out nearby the village with the calves. And in this way, this is how it all started. And as a matter of fact, there was another little detail Jiva Goswami puts into that pastime, that when Mother Jasoda saw Krishna going out, and she was allowing it this time, but she was very concerned that Krishna would possibly, he would need some shoes to wear because there's so many rocks, sharp grass, and things like that. She was very concerned, and she tried to extend the gesture to Krishna, please, maybe you could wear some shoes. And Krishna said, no, actually, that would be very adharmic of me to wear shoes. In fact, the cows, they're not wearing shoes, so why should I wear shoes? And when Bhumi understood what was happening, when Krishna was refusing to wear shoes, then there was some arrangement, by through her arrangement, that the cows went out into the forest ahead of Krishna, and they smashed all the stones and all the grass into fine, very, very, very fine powder, so that Krishna would not have to step on sharp rocks, and neither would you have to step on the grass. And I just summarized it a little bit. It was a little bit more detail, but I was reading that because the devotee who's interviewing me today said, maybe you could also say something about Balaram and Krishna going out into the pasture grounds with the cows, because it's about cow protection. But it's a very nice story. So this is before Gopastami. And in this chapter that I'm going to read from today, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a nice description of Krishna and Balaram, and then this very nice description of how Krishna glorifies Balaram. And there are many, many verses where Krishna puts Balaram in a superior position. And in fact, it is also described that Balaram assumes many relationships with Krishna, although he has a relationship as a brother relationship in Sakya Ras, but he also has a friendly relationship, and he also has some Vatsalya Bhav, and that is that he takes a position superior and almost even takes a position of guru towards Krishna. And all it's called the mixing of these different relationships with Krishna is actually called his Sakya Rasas, his Sankula, which means that there's a mixture there. It's not just Sakya Ras, but there's also Dasya Ras. He takes the mood of a servant. He also Vatsalya. He takes the mood of a parent or a superior. And of course, as Lord Balaram, he cannot have a relationship with Krishna in Vaidurya, but in order to do that, he assumes position of Ananga Manjari. And in that way, he assists the Lord in all the different rasas. anyways, so one of the relationships is superior, and Krishna shows the superior relationship in this chapter by describing Lord Balaram's qualities as his superior, and he's, in so many different ways he's describing how all the trees are worshiping Lord Balaram. They're bending down and offering their obeisances to Lord Balaram and describing his position. And then after that, then it's going to go into the story of Deinakasura. And of course, which was one of the demons which Lord Balaram killed. And there is a Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually, I'll read it at the end. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita how the different killings of the different demons in Vrindavan are meant to teach how to become the eradication. The demons represent different types of anarthas. Which is destroyed by help from Lord Balaram. So that's a little summary of what we're going to read about from the Bhagavatam. I don't know if I'm going to have time to read the whole chapter. I'll make some comments on it, what I read. But it is, as we said, chapter 15, text 1. I'm just going to read the translation and commentaries, some of the commentaries. Shukadeva Goswami said, when Balaram and Krishna attained the age of Paulganda in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. Commentary. After playing in the fifth year, then Paulganda age began. The word cha stands for two, indicating a new subject matter. The activities continued in Raj alone, since it was most attractive. Krishna for a long time had the desire to herd the cows along with Balaram in order to perform pastimes in Vrindavan in a complete way. Out of affection, Nanda would not permit this on seeing Krishna's young age. Now, when he was older and strong, Nanda gave his permission for the two to herd the cows. So actually, one name, of course, for Krishna, of course, is Gopal. But actually, before he was known as Gopal, he was Vatsapal. Because Vatsa is the calves. And when Krishna and Balaram, when they were younger, as we just described, they would go out with the calves nearby. They wouldn't go very deep into the forest. And this is, of course, when they finally reached the age and when they could go out with the cows. Pashupala Samato. The phrase also means that they were expert at doing this. For instance, the phrase approved by the wise means expert. Or the phrase can mean that the two boys were permitted to take the cows and their calves. And here's an interesting point. That though the calves were no longer taking their mother's milk, they could not bear separation from Krishna. And they followed their mothers to the forest. The bulls also followed, even though attempts were made to stop them. They came near Krishna, they would not go without him to the forest. Two boys went together because of strong bonds of affection in order to play together. They went with their friends. Previously, they were not allowed to herd the cows. The older cowherds personally did this. This is understood from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.34 in the phrase Tata Pravayaso Gopas Tokashlesha Sunirvata. Thereafter, the elderly cowherd men obtained great bliss from embracing their sons. Previously, Nanda himself herded the cows since his son was too young and it was his occupational duty. Wanting his association, other elder cowherds joined him. Now when Krishna began herding the cows, boys of similar age who were suitable went with him. This happened on the eighth tithi of the waxing moon of Kartik month. It is stated in the Kartik Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana. I'll skip the Sanskrit. The eighth lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik is known by authorities as Gopastami. From that day, Krishna served as a cowherd, whereas previously he had tended the calves. In serving the cows, the boys did not wear shoes, as this was the occupational rule of the cowherds. Therefore, his footprints appeared on the earth, which produced piety or beauty in Vrindavan. By moving everywhere, more than before, the land became beautiful. That was commentary to the first verse. There are many verses. We'll see how far we can get. But as I said, I'm going to skip some commentaries. Verse 2. Thus desiring to enjoy pastimes, Madhava, sounding his flute loudly, surrounded by cowherd boys, were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. Commentary. Having stated in a general way that the two boys herded the cows, Shukadev now describes details of the sweet pastimes by describing the first day with Krishna being most prominent, so that this need not be described elsewhere. Tat indicates Vrindavan, or the forest, with indescribable most famous glories. Madhava means the dear most of Lakshmi. Out of great prema, remembering the particular pastime, Shukadev uses this word. It indicates that Vrindavan was filled with all treasures. I'm going to skip a little bit here. They played their flutes and entered the forest. Their friends glorified them out of joy and love at the beginning of their forest play. They entered within the forest with affection. Another meaning is that they made the inhabitants of the forest become submerged with thoughts of Krishna. The forest was naturally filled with flowers of all seasons. Since the forest was suitable for the cows would be happy, and there would be no effort to care for them. Since they were surrounded by other boys, the two boys had strength. Thus they had the elements for playing happily. Thus it is said they desired to play. Text 3. Gazing in that forest, which resounded with the charming sounds of bees, animals, and birds, and which served by a breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petaled lotuses, carrying water particles from lakes, whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, Krishna decided to enjoy. Text 4. When the primeval Lord saw that the stately trees with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches, he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. Commentary, he saw everywhere the trees with branches touching his feet, heavy with flowers and fruit with a wealth of red shoots. Or he saw the trees with branches touching his feet because they were heavy with flowers and fruit. This was the best of forests because it had huge trees. According to Amarakosh, the word vanaspati means a tree which bears fruits without flowers, and vanaspati means a tree which bears fruits and flowers. The word vanaspati does not refer to all trees. However, by the rule of inclusion, by similar form, this word can include vanaspati. His smile indicated a joking mood, as indicated in verses 7 to 9, in which his words stimulate his fickle mood. Playing with boys of his own age and identifying with them with predominance of balya feeling in his sakya mood, he puts relationship with his elder brother in a secondary role. That is indicated by the word eva. The two moods as brother or friend will sometimes appear in either of them. And then there's a quote from 14th verse, 15th chapter. We'll get to that quote. It's a quote how when the Balaram sometimes would get tired, he would lie down, and Krishna would take Balaram's feet in his lap, and he would massage Balaram's feet. But that's coming up. Since Krishna regards him as his elder brother, if there is joking, it is done in the form of praise. Text 5. The Supreme Lord said, O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the devatas, by offering you their fruits and flowers, having taken birth as trees to eradicate the dark ignorance of others by their actions. So Krishna's now glorifying Balaram. Just see, as we're entering into the forest, these trees are bending down. And what are they doing? My dear elder brother, they're offering their obeisances to you. So, of course, Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will also explain that Krishna is also speaking about himself, but he was using Lord Balaram and speaking about Lord Balaram in this way because of Balaram's position as being his elder brother. This will come out. Aho indicates joy or astonishment. O best of the devatas, though they are trees taking presentations of flowers and fruits in the tips of their branches or on their heads as worthy offerings, they bow to your lotus feet, which are worshipped by Brahma and liberated souls. How can trees have consciousness? Trees in this situation have no ignorance. They have taken birth as trees in Vrindavan in order to destroy darkness of those who see or hear about this incident. It's like a Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's so many descriptions about so many different devotees, how they assume different forms and personalities to attract the minds of those who are attracted to those forms. And it's also being stated that although the trees in Vrindavan, they have no ignorance, but they have actually, as being described here, they have taken birth as trees in Vrindavan in order to destroy darkness of those who see or hear about this incident. Or taking birth as trees, they destroy the suffering caused by attachment to your association and now being separated by bowing down. This would refer to nityasiddhas. For sadhanasiddhas, they take birth as trees to destroy their suffering of not having attained you yet, as in the prayers of Brahma. Krishna desired to wander freely everywhere to give happiness to all. Some of the trees are nityasiddhas, some of the trees are sadhanasiddhas. Text 6, translation. O original person, these bees must all be great sages and your most elevated devotees, for they are following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. Here, commentary, Krishna's pointing his finger. The bees chant your glories, which are a holy spot, purifying completely the contamination of samsara for all people without any discrimination, or which acts as a guru, teaching the greatness of devotion directed to you. They follow you along the path. This is also described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the slokas, the verses in the Rasayana slokas, and the last chapter of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Sanatana Goswami quotes many, many verses about Vrindavan, and he includes these verses describing also Krishna's glorification of Balaram and how the bees who are following Balaram, they're compared to be like great sages, and because their continuous buzzing is compared to be like the continuous recitation of the glories of the Lord. and this is what Krishna is saying right here now. So these bees, not only the trees bowing down to you, my dear brother, but the bees are following you and they're reciting your glories continuously. They cannot leave you. Wherever you go, they're always behind you. So, They are perhaps sages, the best among the many worshippers of you, my elder brother, by worshipping your complete form. Others engage silently and worshiping you with meditation. They are in a group, or they have followers. Thus they are the chief sages. Since they have attained you, unobtainable by Brahma and Vrindavan, they do not give up on you, who are unknown to other types of worshippers and remain hidden for pastimes. Some of these translations, I mean, they're they're not so easy. When I'm reading them, I realize that it might not be so easy to follow. That's why I'm trying to skip over some parts and capture the parts that are easier to follow. So, O Balaram, you do not recognize sin or offense in your devotees. You are most merciful. Thus they worship you, and you fulfill all their desires because of your merciful nature. The bees are similar to persons like Narada who search for and follow Krishna and sing his most secret glories. Text 7. O worshipable Balaram, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. These doe are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers, as the inhabitants of the forest welcome you to their house. This is the nature of cultured people. Trees, bees, peacocks, cuckoos, everybody who they're seeing in the course of their walking. This is their first day out venturing out into the forest. And because they're going out the first day with the cows, and they're able to go deeper into the forest, now Krishna and Balaram are getting their observation of all the wonderful personalities that are there deep in the forest. And Krishna's pointing them out, saying, all these personalities that we're seeing now deep in the forest, they're recognizing you, my dear brother. Text 8, translation. The earth has now become most fortunate by the touch of your feet. The grass and bushes are most fortunate for the same reason, and the trees and creepers have been touched by your fingernails. The rivers and mountains are fortunate being touched by your feet. The birds and animals have been touched with your merciful glances, but above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Having praised the inhabitants for their service, Krishna praises them along with the earth for getting the mercy of Balaram. The earth has become most fortunate today. She has been fortunate to have the touch of avatars from the beginning of time. She is glorified especially for attaining the mercy of Varaha, who lifted her from the ocean, and Sesha, who carries her on his hoods. But she is most fortunate today because of you. She is most worthy of praise. Let her good fortune remain. Among the things that grow from the earth, the lowly grassy creepers of Vrindavan, such as Durva, are most fortunate because your foot has touched them. Of course, that's another reason why they don't wear shoes. Because dust to get touch of Krishna's and Balaram's. Highly intoxicated bees began humming. If I read this commentary, I'm going to run out of time. I won't. It's nice, very nice. You'll have to read it yourself. Text 11, translation. Sometimes Krishna sweetly imitated what the parrot uttered, using soft words. Sometimes he sweetly cooed in imitation of the cooing pigeons. Sometimes he sweetly imitated the cooing of the swans. Sometimes he laughed at the dancing peacocks and, facing them, danced. Sometimes he affectionately, text 12, sometimes he affectionately called the cows who had wandered far off with a voice like rumbling clouds, using their names. Cows being unintelligent, commentary, cows being unintelligent, thus they are called pasu in this verse, wandered far away from Krishna. They were not aware that they had gone far away because of Krishna's sporty behind them, just as he had previously been there in person. His voice was deep, like clouds rumbling. A deep voice is a characteristic of a great person. So here, Sanatana Goswami is saying that the cows, they were not aware that they wandered far away from Krishna because they thought that Krishna was right behind them. And it describes it as sporty. Sporty, of course, there's different types of, it's not for the, for Nitya Siddhas, sporty is not an imagination. Sporty is what they were actually experiencing. Although Krishna's actually maybe someplace else, but they're experiencing that Krishna's right there. Just like an example of sporty can be given, like when the Sachi Mata, when she was making offerings, and when she would make the offerings, when Krishna, when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, when she would make the offerings, then she would come back and see the offerings were gone. And she was thinking, how is this possible? And she started to think, did I cook the offering? And she started to think that maybe she was imagining that her son was coming and taking. So Lord Chaitanya sent Damodar Pandit to Navadvip to speak to Sachimata. Lord Chaitanya told Damodar Pandit, please tell my mother that she should not think that this is imagination, that I'm personally going there and I'm taking the offerings. So this is, for Nitya Siddha devotees, the sporty is actually an experience of actually of the presence of the Lord. It's not an imaginary experience. And Lord Chaitanya made that point by sending Damodar Pandit to instruct his mother about that. So in the same way, the cows, they had wandered very far from Krishna, but because of sporty, they thought, hey, wait a minute, Krishna's right behind us. So that's the point. Sometimes he affectionately called the cows who had wandered far off, and Krishna was calling them by each, he's calling them by the names, one by one by one. Of course, there's a whole description also of how Krishna would call each of the cows. He would know each of them by name, and he would call them when he would be returning from the pasture. Text 13, translation. Sometimes he would cry out in imitation of birds such as chakoras, crouches, chakravas, bhardvajas, and peacocks, as if in fear of tigers and lions among all the animals. Commentary. The word kvachit sometimes should be understood in this verse. The chakora drinks moonlight, kaucha, or curlew, eats bulbous roots. The chakrava is the chakravaka bird. Bharadvaj is the skylark. He would imitate the cries of these birds individually, sometimes together, since he had all powers to do so. This power should be understood in the previous descriptions also. As play, he appeared frightened, He only appeared to be frightened, since actually it was impossible to have fear, since the tigers and lions of Vrindavan were not violent. The word smai indicates these activities happened for certain. The boys, however, became frightened of the great strength of tigers and lions. O Krishna made sounds frightful like the roaring of lions and tigers among all animals in order to see the boys frightened as a joke. Text 14. When his elder brother, fatigued from playing, would lie down with his head upon the lap of a cowherd boy, Krishna would help him relax by personally massaging his feet and offering other services. Text 15. Sometimes as the cowherd boys danced, sang, moved, and playfully fought with each other, Krishna and Balaram, standing nearby, hand in hand, would glorify their friends' activities and laugh. Commentary: the two sometimes praised their cowherd friends who danced and sang attractively while jumping high with various gestures and also fought with each other out of attachment. Or they praised the boys who would sometimes sing, sometimes dance, and sometimes fight. Sometimes the two would hold hands and laugh, or holding hands and laughing, they would praise the boys. They laughed and praised them, saying, "Your singing defeats that of Gandharvas. Your dancing defeats that of the Vidyadharas. You conquer the three worlds with your fighting." Actually, they were announcing the boys' glories. Text 16. Sometimes Krishna grew tired from fighting and lay down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a cowherd friend as his pillow. Text 17. Some of the cowherd boys, who were all great souls, would then massage his lotus feet, and others, qualified by being free of all sin, would expertly fan him. Text 18. My dear king, other boys would sing and chanting songs appropriate to the occasion, and their hearts would melt out of love for Krishna. Text 19. In this way, the Supreme Lord, whose soft lotus feet are personally attended by the goddess of fortune, when he takes other forms whose sweetness cannot be understood by anyone, acted like the son of a cowherd to show mercy to his parents. Yet even while enjoying like a village boy in the company of other village residents, he often exhibited feats only the Lord could perform. Text 20. Once some of the cowherd boys, Sridham, the very close friend of Balaram and Krishna, along with Subal, Stoka Krishna, and others, lovingly spoke the following words. Commentary: the first day's herding cows was described as typical of other days. Now, to show some of the powers that Krishna manifested while herding the cows to please his dear friends, a story is related. Balaram's name is mentioned before Krishna's because he was the most prominent in fighting. Subal and others were also friends. Sridham is mentioned first since he was the chief friend in Braj. Another boy was called Stoka Krishna. He was given this four-syllable name because it would have been improper to call him Krishna. His form was similar to Krishna's, and thus giving a similar name, his father thought that the name would produce affection for Krishna. The boys spoke out of love for a dear friend, not for obtaining tala fruit, out of greed, and not for getting the demon killed. The nature of prema is sometimes expressed as a request for a desired object, right? Just like the Krishna and Balaram, when they sent the cowherd boys to get food from the Brahmins. The Brahmins, actually, they were saying, "Oh, Krishna, Balaram, you know, we're hungry." That they were expressing that. But actually, it wasn't really that they were hungry. It's actually they were doing it for pleasing They wanted to please Krishna and Balaram, who wanted to satisfy their hunger. But it's not they were thinking of their own hunger. This is nature of the relationship that is there between the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram. So in the same way, the cowherd boys are saying, we heard there's a wonderful forest of fruit. What did it say here? The boys spoke out of love for a dear friend, not for obtaining tala fruit out of greed, and not for getting the demon killed. The nature of prema is sometimes expressed as a request for a desired object. Or they made the request with a desire that Balaram and Krishna could eat out of affection as friends. Friendship arises because of great similarity in which each has knowledge of the other's abilities. Text 21. O Ram, Ram, mighty armed one. O Krishna, destroyer of the miscreants. Not far from here is a very great forest filled with rows of palm trees. I'm going to skip the purple. It's a good one, but it's long. Text 22. In that Talavan forest, many fruits are falling from the trees, and many are already lying on the ground, but all the fruits are being guarded by the evil Dainuka. Commentary. Well, so what? Fearing that question, they reveal their desire. Some of the fruit are falling, and others have fallen from the tree. They are plenty and have fallen on their own. Thus they are very sweet since they are ripe and will uselessly rot. You do not have to take effort to make them fall from the tree. This is good fun for Bhadramant, since all the tala fruit are ripe then. According to Vishnu Purana, this incident took place after the defeat of Kaliya in the summer. The order given in Vishnu Purana is accepted. Harivansa also described killing Dainuka after Kaliya's defeat. Then you boys should go there and take the fruit, common in the forest. But Dainuka is obstructing. So ask him and take the fruit. He's very evil. They hint that after Krishna kills them, they can take the fruit. Text 23. O Ram, O Krishna, Dainuka is a most powerful demon and has assumed the form of an ass. He is surrounded by many friends who've assumed a similar shape and who are just as powerful as he. Translation, text 24. The demon Dainuka has eaten men alive, and therefore all people and animals are terrified of going to the Tala forest. O killer of the enemy, even the birds are afraid to fly there. Text 25. In the Tala forest are sweet-smelling fruits no one has ever tasted. Indeed, even now we can smell the fragrance of the Tala fruits spreading all about. Commentary, the word cha indicates that the fruits are sweet, though the fruit have never been eaten. Just by smelling the fragrance, their sweetness can be known. The word vai indicates certainty. The sweet fragrance is experienced everywhere, for generally in that area, the east wind favorable for rain blows in Bhadramat. The fragrance indicates the excellence and nearness of the fruit. Thinking that Krishna and Balaram did not know, they informed them. When the two boys question the others about the demon, they show ignorance of Dainuka as a joke. 26, translation. O Krishna, please get those fruits for us. Our minds are so attracted by their aroma. Dear Balaram, our desire is to have those fruits. Our desire to have those fruits is very great. If you think it's a good idea, go to the Tala forest. Text 27. Suggest, if you think it's a good idea. Hearing the words of their dear companions, Krishna and Balaram laughed, and desiring to please them, by showing their abilities, They set off for the Taliban surrounded by their cowherd boyfriends. Text 28. Balaram entered the Tala forest first, then with his two arms, he began forcefully shaking the trees with the power of a maddened elephant, causing the Tala fruits to fall to the ground. Commentary. Balaram entered first since he was requested first. Balaram took a secondary role in order, Krishna took a secondary role in order to glorify Balaram. Because the trees were clustered together, by shaking one, they all shook. By his will, he made the fruits fall at a distance, not on his head. Or his two arms became many, and simultaneously he shook all the trees everywhere. By his nature, he was very strong. Points being made. Shook the tree, but shook it so that in such a way that the fruits would fall at a distance and not fall on his head. Text 29. Translation. Hearing the sound of the falling fruits, the ass demon, Denuka, ran forward to attack, making the earth and trees tremble. Commentary. The demon caused shaking everywhere. The whole earth shook along with the mountains. This shows the demon's strength, which was mentioned earlier. Text 30, translation. The powerful demon rushed up to Baladev and sharply struck the Lord's chest with the hooves of his hind legs. Then Denuka began to run about, braying loudly. Text 31, translation. O king, moving again toward Balaram while braying, the furious ass situated himself with his back toward him. Then the demon kicked him in anger. Text 32. Balaram seized Denuka by his hoof, whirled him about with one hand, and threw the demon, who died because of being whirled around, into the top of a palm tree. Commentary. He grabbed the demon's feet with one hand and whirled him around with one hand. Prapadho means the tip of the feet. Previously, he let the demon strike him in order to show that it did not hurt him, since he did not even pay attention to it. Text 33. Being struck by the demon's body, a huge tala tree with a huge top began shaking and then broke, causing others to shake and break. Commentary, the word cha indicates the first tree made others shake, and by breaking, made others break. Text 34, translation. When Balaram casually threw the body of the ass demon into the top of the tallest palm tree, all the trees, even at a distance, began shaking as if blown about by powerful winds. Text 35, my dear Pariksit, that Balaram killed Denukasura is not such a wonderful thing, considering that he is Bhagavan, the unlimited and the controller of the entire universe. In him, the entire cosmos rests as cloth depends on its threads. Text 36, translation. The other ass demons, close friends of Denukasura, were enraged upon seeing his death, and thus they all immediately ran to attack Krishna and Balaram. Commentary, seeing the prowess of Balaram, the relatives left him in fear and ran towards Krishna. They were thinking, after they saw what Balaram did, let's go to Krishna. Who, out of love for his elder brother, had come directly in front. Thus Krishna's name is mentioned first. Out of love for his younger brother, Balaram then came to his side. Thus his name is also mentioned. Because the both were prominent, the word cha is used twice, bellowing loudly because of the death of their friend. With anger and lamentation, they displayed great power. Text 37. O king, as the demons attacked, Krishna and Balaram easily seized them, one after another, by their hind legs and threw them all into the tops of the palm trees. Text 38. The earth then appeared beautifully covered with heaps of fruits and with the dead bodies of the demons, which were entangled in the broken tops of the palm trees. The earth shone like the sky decorated with clouds. Text 39. Observing this magnificent feat of the two brothers, the devatas and other elevated living beings rained down flowers and offered music and prayers and glorification. Text 40. People without fear then ate the fruits of the palm trees. Also the cows could now graze freely upon the grass in the forest where Danica was killed. Commentary: the cowherd boys did not eat the fruit since they felt repulsion because of the dead bodies. But others ate the fruit. Because the demon was there, previously no cows grazed there, thus it was now full of grass. It reminds me, I look out the window sometimes in the back here. It's been raining so much. Grass is growing. And the cows regularly graze when the grasses start coming high. But now, unfortunately, the area where I used to watch the cows grazing all the time, in the last, just the last few days, it's not flooded, but it's like a little lake there. So now I'm not getting a chance to see the cows. But they're always going there because of the fresh green grass, which is growing in the field just behind. So the same thing, because the cows had never grazed in the Taliban forest, the grass was ready to be eaten, and the cows immediately went there and grazed. Text 41. Translation: lotus-eyed Krishna, whose glories are most auspicious to hear and chant, returned home to Vraj with his elder brother Balaram, praised by the cowherd boys who followed behind. Commentary: having told an incidental story, actually this was just about Krishna and Balaram going out on the first day with the cows, and the killing of Dainakasura was just incidentally it happened when they went out into the forest for the first time to take the cows out to pasture. Having told an incidental story, the killing of Dainuka from another day, the description now returns to the evening pastimes on first day of herding the cows. Six verses describe the evening pastime. A description of the general devotees of Raj as they were gazing at the boys is given. By mentioning Krishna, how he attracted everyone's heart is indicated. This is particularized in the words following. His eyes, like lotus petals, indicate his beauty. He manifested a little of Kaishura beauty, at which stage there was redness at the tips of the eyes and with the length and width of his eyes. Because he's endowed with all good qualities and actions, hearing about him and glorifying him produces auspiciousness. This means that by hearing about him, the people of Raj diminished their pain of separation and gave bliss to those around them. After pointing out his beauty, the verse describes the beauty of his followers surrounding him. Text 42. Krishna's hair, covered with the dust raised by the cows, was decorated with the peacock feather and forest flowers. He glanced charmingly and smiled beautifully, playing upon his flute while his companions chanted his glories. The young gopis all together came forward to meet him, their eyes very eager to meet him. Nice purport, but long. Translation. Text 43. With their cup-like eyes, the women of Vrindavan drank the honey of the beautiful face of Mukunda, and thus they gave up the distress they had felt during the day because of separation from him. The young Vrindavan ladies cast sidelong glances at the Lord glances filled with bashfulness, laughter, and submission, and he completely accepting these glances as a proper offering of respect, entered his house in the village. Text 44. Mother Jasoda and Mother Rohini, acting most affectionately toward their two sons, offered all the best things to them in response to their every desire and at various appropriate times. Text 45. Being bathed and massaged, the two young boys were relieved of the weariness caused by walking on the country roads. Then they were dressed in attractive robes and decorated with transcendental garlands and fragrances. Text 46. After dining sumptuously on the delicious food given them by their mothers and being pampered in various ways, the two brothers lay down upon their excellent beds and happily went to sleep in the village of Braj. So that was their first day out, Krishna and Balaram, to the forest, herding the cows. Of course, first day out, of course, that's in Gokul, because pastimes here in Gokul, they happen in a sequential way. But in Goloka, there's no sequence. They're all happening simultaneously. And in fact, Krishna is even manifesting his different ages, such as Poganda, such as Kaishorya, such as his Kumara age. He manifests according to the need, according to the time. And just as all the seasons, they're also manifested all simultaneously. In Vrindavan, there's no influence of the time factor, and in Goloka. So when we say first time, certainly we're speaking about Krishna's appearance in Gokula. There is no first time in Goloka for Krishna to go out with his cowherd boyfriends. It's all his pastimes simply serve according to the desires of his devotees. And that is most important principle there. Just as even the sun rises and sets, but even the rising and setting of the sun this doesn't mean that it's the movement of time, because time in the spiritual world is conspicuous by its absence. So morning, day, night, all of these these times of Krishna's pastimes throughout the day are just simply Krishna's pastimes as they are manifest in Goloka. And therefore, by referring to his first time going out with the cows, it is reference to Gokul. And one more thing I wanted to read. I'm not going to have time for japa today. Forgive me. I just wanted to read one more thing. I maybe have time for maybe one round. That's about it. And that is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says about the killing of Dainukasura. He writes this in the Chaitanya Sikshamrita. He says, in the 8th chapter of Sri Krishna Samhita, from the 13th verse to the end of the chapter, the 18 anarthas, which are obstacles to Vraj Bhajan, have been mentioned. Adding to this, the pride of wealth represented by Yamala Arjuna trees and the pride of performance of karma represented by the Brahmins, it becomes 20 obstacles. These 20 are unfavorable for Vraj Bhajan. The serious chanter should first address the Lord and pray to him for the power to give up these unfavorable items. By doing this, the heart becomes purified. If the devotee prays humbly to Krishna to remove all the obstacles in the heart, which are represented by the demons he killed, he will certainly do so. All the obstacles represented by the demons whom Balaram killed can be removed by the efforts of the devotee himself. And here is the secret of Vraj Bhajan. Dainukasura represents the bad mentality which carries heavy loads. Pralamba represents lust for women, greed, and desire for worship and position. The devotee must remove these obstacles by his own efforts with the mercy of Krishna. Dhinakasura means ignorance of one's own spiritual identity, Swarup, the identity of the name, and the identity of Krishna. With great endeavor, the devotee himself removes these obstacles. Understanding these to be very detrimental to progress, the devotee should make great effort to remove them. If his humility is true, certainly Krishna will be merciful. Then Baladev will make his appearance and all the obstacles will be destroyed in a second. Then step by step, progress and cultivation of bhakti will take place, as this process is by nature very esoteric. His devotees, being spotless in character, should learn it from a qualified guru. What Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is explaining, that by one's own effort, that he's referring to a well-known verse I oftentimes quote, that Naya, and Prabhupada quotes it also in the Krishna book, Nayam Atma Bala Hanina Labhya, Nacha Pramadattapaso Bapyalingat, Etar Upaya Yatate Yas Tubidhan, Tasyaisha Atma Vishate Brahmadhamma. The Supreme Lord is not attained by one who has no spiritual strength, who is wild or careless, or whose austerities are not appropriate. The Lord appears before a person who strives by right means to attain him. Such a person enters the spiritual world. Prabhupada quotes this verse in this explanation that we should understand that without spiritual strength, it is not possible to overcome all of the obstacles which we need to overcome and the anarthas that we need to overcome in this world. And therefore, Prabhupada specifically states in Krishna book that the word bala is being used here, it certainly does not mean material strength, but bala means spiritual strength, and spiritual strength is that which Lord Balaram gives to those who strive to attain the Lord by the right means. So this verse states, those who don't have the spiritual strength, those who don't have the help of Balaram, then it's not possible for them to actually to become free from their anarthas. Therefore, Lord Balaram, he is a Kanda Guru Tattva, and Lord Balaram, he is the original spiritual master, and it's from Lord Balaram, who is the source of all spiritual strength, and it is Lord Balaram who actually is being referred to in this verse, Nayamatma Balahanena Labhya, that one needs the mercy of Lord Balaram. Therefore, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is stating that by one's own efforts, by his determination and own efforts to become freed from these unwanted anarthas, which Dhinakasura represents, as we described, and all these other demons represent, then one will get strength and help from Lord Balaram. That is the point that he's making. So it's just about 6 o'clock. I'm supposed to check in at 6 o'clock, but I'll chant one round and then check in a little bit late. I think it'll be okay because the session doesn't actually start until 6:30. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaurava Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama. Of the interview. So we'll end here, and all glories to Lord Balaram. Happy Balaram Jayanti to all the devotees. May you think about Lord Balaram today. May you seek his mercy and seek his kind assistance and strength by offering prayers to him and by remembering the strength that Lord Balaram gives to those who always strive to achieve the Lord by the right means and who are not careless and whose those who are austerities are not fruitless and not wild. Specifically, that's the verse that explains they should aspire to achieve the mercy of the Lord by the right means. And the right means is by chanting our japa very sincerely and intensely and hearing the glories of the Lord in association of his devotees. This is the right means by which we can gain, which the verse says, by which Krishna, we can see Krishna face to face. That is how he reveals himself to his devotee. The Lord reveals himself to those who strive to achieve him by the right means. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll see all of you in North America on today's Saturday, and we will continue with Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Very, very nice. We actually entered into a little bit of Brihad Bhagavatamrita yesterday. Some of the things which I didn't speak about on Saturday, about more evidence about the superiority of Harinam Sankirtan to meditation. And we'll be reading about from those verses probably on Saturday. And we'll be chanting also with all of you. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadarha Shivasiri Govarda Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai. Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Devotees, Jai Vaishnava.